Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Consider for a moment an interesting observation. Suppose the ruler of a country were to pass a law legalizing corruption. Well, what would that tell you about the character of that ruler? It would likely tell you that this person, this one making such a law, was also corrupt himself. You see, laws are actually a kind of portrait of the lawgiver. So, when we come to the laws of God, we should realize that they are a portrait of the person that gave them. In other words, the law given by God to Moses on Mount Sinai is a portrait of the person of God, a portrait of Jesus Christ. So, when we come to a passage of Scripture, such as the 119th Psalm with its 176 verses, many speaking of the law, we should have the impression that what we are seeing is not God's demands upon you and me, but rather we are seeing Christ as God's expression, and also the one to whom we are coming, that he may supply us with himself, in order that we, as his members, could live him out, fully meeting, even surpassing God's every demand. Bob Danker joining us today as we come, Bob, to 176 verses, Psalm 119. It's quite an undertaking, isn't it?
It certainly is, Chris, and I really appreciate what you said in your opening word concerning the law being a portrait of God, which means it's a portrait of Christ, because Christ is God incarnated to be a man, and also concerning the law being God's word that God may impart himself into our being. I think this kind of thought is foreign to most of us. We always have the thought that the law is a set of requirements.
Right.
Whenever we consider the law, we consider God has his demands upon us that we live and conduct ourselves in a certain way. But I think in this portion of the ministry of Witness Lee, we'll see something quite wonderful concerning the law.
Boy, I couldn't agree more, Bob. You know, as we now have been in this life study of the Psalms for maybe 7, 8 weeks, something like that, early on in this life study, I noticed, and we had many programs, that when the psalmist was extolling the law, we were seeing that contrasted in a kind of a negative way against the uplifting, the exalting of Christ, which takes place in many of the other psalms. But at this point in his life study, and this is a landmark psalm, let's face it, Psalm 119 is a major contribution to the, you know, the whole divine revelation. Witness Lee is bringing out another thing concerning the law, and that is that we need to see it differently. It's still the law, but it's our perception that changes here. And now, rather than contrasting it in a negative way, seeing it as this portrait of Christ on the one hand, also as the life-giving Word of God, the very living Word of God on the other, this puts it in a more positive light, doesn't it?
Absolutely, Chris. Our whole concept of the law is actually revolutionized when we realize that in giving the law to his people, God wanted to reveal himself to them.
Yeah.
And he wanted to impart himself into them so that they could be his living expression.
So the challenge before all of us today is to get ourselves out of this mindset that the law is a set of commandments for me to keep. It's a requirement for me to meet, and see it in a totally different light, which I think Witness Lee is going to give us some just invaluable help with today. Christ is this person that the law reflects, even is a portrait of. Let's look at Colossians 2:9, a very short verse in the New Testament. It says, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." That means Christ really is the expression of God, doesn't it, Bob?
That's right.
And then now let's come to this Psalm 119, the first, or at least portion of the first three verses. "Blessed are those whose way is perfect, who walk in the law of Jehovah. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies. They walk in his ways." So to see the law as his testimony is another, I think, fitting way that complements what we've been talking about, Bob, and that's what we'll touch in this first segment. Here's Witness Lee.
Now we come to Psalm 119. First of all, have you seen the subject of this outline? Christ, the reality of the law. Amen. As God's testimony and God's word. If you consider the law as the commandments, as the regulations, as the ordinances, I tell you, you are finished. You should consider the law as God's testimony. The law was given on Mount Sinai, but it was put into a little ark, which is called the Ark of the Testimony. The law is in the Ark of Testimony, and the Ark is in the Tabernacle of Testimony. Now, eventually, who is this law? I didn't ask you what is the law. I asked you, who is the law? Are the Ten Commandments a person? No. But you have to realize the Ten Commandments are a portrait of a person, God. And this God today is embodied in Christ. So Christ becomes God's testimony. He is the reality of the law, which is the portrait of the genuine God. Now we have to see the two aspects of the law. Firstly, the aspect of the letter. Secondly, the aspect of the Spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says, we are the ministers of the New Testament, not according to letters, but by the Spirit. Amen. The letter kills, and the Spirit enlivens, gives life.
Amen.
So, whether you have a killing law, and you have a life-giving law, it depends upon your attitude. When you come to Ten Commandments, if your attitude is toward the letters of Ten Commandments, don't lie, don't steal, don't covet, you will say, "My, I cannot do it." Needless to say, Ten Commandments, even one of the ten, I cannot make it. Forget about it. You are holding the aspect of letters of the law. But if you consider, regardless what commandment, I don't care. I care all these sentences as the word of God, even the breathing of the God whom I love. You see the point? Then you don't need to tremble to keep the letters. Rather, you will be happy to be fed with every part as the word of God. Of the law.
You know, Bob, at first blush, it may seem like this is a small point, but actually, considering the law as the testimony of God is a giant point, isn't it? In determining whether it's the letter that kills us or the word that gives life to us.
That's right, Chris. It's quite amazing that many times the law is referred to by the word testimony. So the law is really a portrait of the very God who gave the law and the very God who is embodied in Christ. The law is a picture of a person.
Mm-hmm.
So when we come to the law, we can see what kind of person God is. He is a God of love. He is a God of light. In him there's no darkness at all. When you read the law, you just sense something shining there.
Mm.
There's nothing dark in God's law. He's a God of righteousness, absolutely righteous in every way. And he's a God of holiness. There is no other God like him. And the law testifies of this unique one. And if we could see God's portrait in the law, surely we would admire him and love him for who and what he is. Rather than taking the law as a set of requirements upon us, we should take the law as a picture of what God is. And also, we have the two aspects of the law,
right,
which Witness Lee pointed out. One is the aspect of the letter,
mm-hmm,
and the aspect of the spirit. And Paul, of course, points out in 2 Corinthians that the letter kills. So if we come to the law in the way of coming to just some words or black and white letters on a page, and we take it in the way of letter,
yeah,
that means we try to fulfill it.
That's right.
Then what will be the result? It will kill us.
We'll be killed.
We'll be killed in a spiritual sense. We'll be deadened. We will not be enlivened. But if we come to the law, realizing that this law is the word of God, it's God's word. And according to Paul's word in 2 Timothy 3, God's word is God's breath. God's breathing himself out. That means the law is a channel through which we can partake of God himself, so that spontaneously we can live a life that expresses God and comes up to the requirement of the law without any effort on our part. This is the wonderful thing about God's economy, that is, God's plan to dispense himself into our being so that he and we are mingled and become one, so that we can be his living expression, just as the Lord Jesus Christ is.
So, as we heard him say, whether what we experience when we come to the law is a killing letter or a life-giving, supplying word, all together depends on how we approach it, how we handle it, what our attitude is, doesn't it?
Exactly, and I'm glad you mentioned this word attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need an attitude change.
Yeah.
When we come to the law or even the Bible as a whole, we need to come to it as God's revelation that reveals a person to us. And we need to come to it as God's word, God's breathing out of himself, so that we may breathe him in. We can participate and partake of him. This should be our attitude. And this makes a great difference in the effect that the word of God has on us.
Exactly.
Right? It can either deaden us by being the killing letter, or it can enliven us by being the life-giving spirit.
Bob, you mentioned 2 Corinthians 3:6. We've been talking about it. Another New Testament verse, this time shows us that the law not only has two aspects, it also has two functions, which we'll get into in this second portion. Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. But before faith came, we were guarded under law, being shut up unto the faith which was to be revealed. So then the law has become our child conductor unto Christ, that we might be justified out of faith. All right, here's Witness Lee now with two functions of the law.
Now, the two aspects of function of the law. The negative function, one, as God's commandment to expose man's sin. No doubt, every item of the law exposes your shortcomings. Every word exposes your sin, your dishonesty, unfaithfulness, a lot of defects, right? Number two, as God's regulations, this is to guard God's chosen people in its custody. When Christ comes, he will become a child conductor to conduct you to Christ.
Amen.
This is on the negative side, the function of the law. Now the passive, as God's living testimony, the law ministers the living God to his seekers. If you open up Exodus, you consider that as a letter of law. That law becomes very negative to you. You hate to read it. But if you consider Exodus gives you a portrait of God, that's his testimony. And you consider every word of the law is something breathed out of the very God whom you seek and whom you love. Then, whenever you come to Exodus, you should love it. And today, with the Bible, in the same way, if our attitude toward the Bible is right, whenever we come to the Bible and open it, we do have the deep sensation that we are here with God. When we touch the Bible, we just touch God. When we open the Bible, we just get into the presence of God. He is so loving. He is so worthwhile of seeking. And we are His seekers. And we are His lovers. This is the positive function of the law as the testimony of God. Then, as God's living word, to dispense God's life and light to His lovers.
One negative and one positive. Negatively, the law exposes every defect in our being, uncovers everything. But it also has the positive function of conducting us, bringing us to Christ. Actually, these two things go quite much together, don't they?
They certainly do. When we see all our defects and shortcomings, we realize that we could never fulfill the requirements of God. But there is one, the Lord Jesus, who lived a life that was fully up to God's standard and requirement. In fact, His living exceeded the demand of the law. He was really and truly God's expression, the one who was filled with God, the one who lived out God and expressed God in such a living way. When we see Him, we see God, you know. So this points out our need for Christ. God's desire is that we would believe in Christ and receive Christ, not that we would try to keep a set of commandments and regulations. The more we realize that we are not able, the more we realize that we need Christ. Of course, Witness Lee also mentioned this matter of loving God and seeking God.
Right.
What is our attitude toward God? Do we see Him as one who is far away from us and one who has placed a heavy demand on us which we must endeavor to keep? Or do we see Him as a God who wants to impart Himself to us so that we can be His living expression? Do we love Him? Do we seek Him? You know, it makes a world of difference when we come to the Bible. If we would simply come to the Bible as if we were coming to God Himself, we're entering into the presence of God to be with Him, to touch Him, to receive Him, to see Him, to know Him, to become thoroughly involved with Him, wouldn't this have a great effect on how we read the Bible? It would be quite a revolutionary thing to us. We come to the Word not to learn something, not to receive principles for our living, but to contact a living person and to breathe Him in, to partake of Him, and to be one with Him. This is a new attitude, a different attitude from what we may have had in the past.
You know, we've talked about this verse many times. I think in the King James or most of the contemporary translations, all Scripture is inspired by God. Actually, the literal translation and the one that's used in our Recovery Version is all Scripture is God-breathed. That means every word in the Bible is God's breath, doesn't it, Bob?
It certainly does.
Even scriptures on the law.
That's right. The law is the breath of God. And you know, when you read Psalm 119, what do you see there? You see a person who loved the law. He even said that the law, as God's word, was sweeter than honey in his mouth and more to be desired than gold.
Wow.
What is this? would a set of commandments be appreciated in such a way? No, the psalmist, when he read the law to him was the living word of God through which he contacted God, enjoyed God, and received God's life and element into his being.
Wow.
It was totally different with this particular one who wrote Psalm 119.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in this final section today. We've had two aspects of the law, two functions of the law. Now we have two categories or two kinds of people in dealing with the law. And I think we'll see this psalmist in one of these categories pretty clearly. Here's Witness Lee.
There are two kinds of people in relation to the law. The first kind is letter keepers, illustrated by the Jude letters. They were a damage to the Lord in the four Gospels. They were a damage to the apostles in the Acts, and they were damaged to all the believers in the epistles. So in Philippians 3, Paul says they are the dogs. They are the letter keepers of the law. Then the second kind of people, the God seekers, illustrated by the psalmist, especially by the writer of Psalm 119. Surely the writer of this psalm is not a letter keeper, but a God seeker. I give you all the aspects. They seek God, they love the name of God, and remember it, the entreating the countenance of God. Just like a little babe. This little babe doesn't care for anything. Daemon, her mother's countenance is top daemon to her. If you are such a seeker of God, such a lover of God, surely you will not consider the law as letters, but you will consider the law as the portrait of God, which bears God's countenance. Then asking for his face to shine, not just entreating God's countenance, but also asking God's face to shine over you. Then walking in his presence, considering God's law to be God's word. You do not consider the law as the law. You consider the law as God's living word, loving word, right? Breathed out of God's mouth. Then God's word being sweeter than honey to your taste. Today we will say sweeter than chocolate. I have a Bible.
Amen.
Which is much sweeter than the sweet chocolate.
Amen.
Then God's word being more precious than fine gold. The taste is sweeter and the preciousness is more. Then God's word being a lamp to their feet and a light for their path. All of these items are the expressions of the writer of this song.
Bob, I appreciate you already touched on a number of these expressions, the sweetness of God's word to the psalmist, the preciousness of this word to the psalmist. This person really fit category two, didn't he? The seeker of God, not the keeper of the letter.
Yes, it's useless to be a letter keeper. We know that we cannot keep the letter of the law, but there are some people who still like to try to keep the letter of the law, and they also like to require others to keep the letter.
Boy.
They're letter keepers, and the Judaizers in Paul's day were exactly that way. Then there are the ones who are the lovers and seekers of God. We need to be in this category. When we come to the Bible, we come to the law or any part of the Bible, our attitude, our desire should be to contact God, to join ourselves to God, to receive God into us, to blend with God and mingle with Him, and so that God Himself will be lived out of us in our living. This is a completely different attitude from the attitude of the Judaizers in the New Testament. Paul was once a Judaizer.
Right.
He was initially a Judaizer, but he was thoroughly revolutionized by the Lord to be a lover and a seeker of God. You can tell that in his epistles. And he realized what the function of the law was, why God gave the law, and he held the law in a proper way. This is a great pattern and example for all of us.
Interesting. These Judaizers damaged the Lord in the Gospels, damaged the apostles in the Acts, and damaged the whole church in the epistles. This is a deadly element in the church, isn't it? When it gets established.
Yes, this element of letter keeping, the keeping of the letter of the law, is very damaging because it brings people under the requirement of the law without supplying them with anything. And we know this leads to what? Condemnation and spiritual death.
Instead, we should let the law conduct us to Christ, the one of whom the law is a portrait, and let him supply and dispense all that he is in his divine life and his divine nature. This is really enjoying the Word of God as the breath, that which is proceeding out of God himself.
Absolutely, Chris.
Boy, Bob, the time goes so quickly when we get into these life studies of the Psalms. I've really enjoyed today as well as all of the other times you've been here, and we're just about done, but hopefully the Lord will allow that we could get together again before we finish up in the life study of Psalms.
I hope so too, Chris.
For Bob Danker, I'm Chris Wilde. Thanks very much for listening today.